holding on Chokhtes Amud Aleph. 7 lines from the top. Chokhtes Amud Aleph. Okay. So we started a discussion yesterday. So the Mishnah had talked about that a father has the ability to declare his son a Nazir, or we talked about does it just mean to declare him, or does it mean that he makes the son himself say, I'll be a Nazir, whatever it is. But a mother doesn't have that ability. And also, we said in the Gemara, similarly, a father only has the ability to do it for his son, but not for his daughter. So why is that? Where does this whole concept come from? So we said, Rabbi Yochanan said it's Allah, and Rish Lakish said it's a matter, and Rish Lakish said it's a matter of chinuch. So we went through so far a couple of possible objections to Rish Lakish. Number one is if it's a matter of chinuch, then why not a mother and why not a daughter? Doesn't a mother have a responsibility to be mechanech her son as well, and doesn't a father have a responsibility to be mechanech his daughter as well? So we said that not necessarily. Rish Lakish might hold that a woman does not have a chiyuv of chinuch, and similarly that a man doesn't have a chiyuv of chinuch on his daughter, which we discussed briefly yesterday. The pros and cons of that we find in other cases in halacha, a woman does have a certain responsibility for chinuch of her children. The actual pasuk in halacha is that not, by the way. The actual pasuk in halacha is that the chiyuv of chinuch, which, by the way, the halacha is only the rabbanon, not the daraisa. Daraisa is nobody, actually. Daraisa, there's actually no chiyuv. There's a chiyuv of chinuch in Talmud Torah, Shinantam Lavanecha, but there's no chiyuv of chinuch in mitzvahs, midaraisa. That whole chiyuv, the Alter Rebbe explains at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, is only and also in Hilchos Shabbos, is only the rabbanon. In mitzvahs. There's an interesting sikha where the Rebbe talks about how is it expected a kid's going to become bar mitzvah without any chinuch. Well, basically, the Rebbe explains in the sikha, yeah, you'll learn on the job, kind of. But, okay.
Does it mean a chinuch in mitzvah?
Meaning, in other words, midaraisa. There's no midaraisa, for example, a kid is, let's say, only chayav and tefillin when he turns 13, actually when he gets shei sairus, as we'll talk about later. Technically, up till that point, the father has no particular obligation to train him and put him on tefillin. No particular obligation, let's say, to train him in taking a lulav or sitting in a sukkah or what have you. Even as far as yisurim, we talked about in Yevamos the concept of katan oichel mevelos, that if a child is doing yisurim, that beis din does not specifically have a responsibility to stop him. And even his father has a responsibility only mitzad chinuch, which again he has a midarai. You're not allowed to feed a child. You're not allowed to feed a child a dvar yisur. That's a different thing. But you're not obligated, in Torah, to prevent them from doing an issur. In most cases, there's certain exceptions. Emor v'amar, t'lahazir v'dor l'mas tanim, in the case of Tumas Nes, praying, and there's a couple of exceptions.
So that means it's not an issur.
No, but the point is, but you're not allowed to feed them the thing of issur. You're not feed them or give them the thing of issur, but you, yes. But as far as preventing them, except in certain cases, that itself is only done up on it anyway. Anyway, so what we talked about was the possibilities that first of all, there's that. Second of all, it may be that a mother, even if a mother does have a chiyuv of chinuch, it's only if the father is not available. Here we're talking about the father is available. As far as the matter of sons versus daughters, there can be a distinction between doing a mitzvah versus avoiding an iser. Here with Naziris, we're talking about avoiding an iser. That's not the same thing in the case of what about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is an essa and a loisa. There's an essa the nisim is not shaseichem, and there's a loisa and not the eat. So the essa is reason enough that you have to be mechanech a girl as well in it.
Not necessarily
from the point of view of the loisa. There's other answers also among them. We can mention that maybe the chiyuv of chinuch, even if you argue it is daraisa, maybe it only applies to things that the child is regularly going to be doing when they get older, not in the case of nezirus, where they may never do it again. It's b'chlal an optional thing. It's not a required thing. Anyway, so here's where we are in the Gemara. Seven lines from the top. So fine, according to the Yechanan, who says that it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, but in the case of a nazir, that a father has the ability to be madir his son. Ahochi ben nazirus ain ben nadarim loy. Well, therefore, it makes sense that this applies only to nazirus, not to other nadarim. Because, okay, it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, then that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is specifically about nazirus. El Rish Lakish for the nadarim nami. According to Rish Lakish, what should be the difference? If it's a matter of chinuch, shouldn't that apply just as much to nadarim? Nadarim is a matter of chinuch also, in a way. Nedarim Siyar Lapurishus, like it says in Pirkei Avos, that Nedarim helps train a person in controlling his taivus. So maybe it doesn't matter of chinuch. And the answer is loy mevaya kamar. Actually, yes, according to the Shlokish, the Mishnah is not telling us only nezirus as opposed to any other neder. No, it means needless to say. Loy mevaya nedarim delesa nivul. Needless to say, when it comes to nedarim, there's no nivul. Here we're using nivul in the same sense that we used it yesterday, ishim and novellus, meaning not repulsive or whatever, but rather deprived. Other nedarim don't necessarily involve deprivation. First of all, we could be talking about, let's say, Tosfos gives an example, the nether, let's say, that he to bring a carbon, or nether to keep mitzvahs, like sukkah or lulav, that he's not yet obligated in because he's still a kohen. So those don't involve any deprivation. But even if we're talking about the regular... No, that's the thing. That's what we're saying in Nazir. One second. First, we're talking about regular nedarim. Regular nedarim, in other words, according to the Shlokish, the argument is there's less of a chidush that the father should be able to bind his son with one of them, because there's no nivul. Or even if you're talking about the typical kind of neder which does involve nivul, or does involve, let's say, the father might say, if you don't do such and such, then you'll be also to eat this food, fine. Do such and such, and you'll be able to eat the food. But there's not necessarily any nivul involved. Aval b'nezirus, ela afila b'nezirus, the islay nivul, but with nezirus, where there definitely is nivul involved, there's definitely deprivation, because willy-nilly he's not going to be able to drink wine, etc., so you would think maybe the father doesn't have that power. Nevertheless, he has the mitzvah doing mechanechim. So yes, according to the Shlokish, it's not so according to Rabbi Yechon and Taka only by Nazir. According to the Shlokish, a Taka would apply to all Nadarim. Just like the father has the ability to say to his son, you're a Nazir, and now he's a Nazir, the same way he has the ability to bind him by a Nadir.
What's the connection between the Chinuch and the
We would argue that maybe chinuch only. The Gemara is going to actually make such a distinction in a second. That maybe you would argue the father's right of chinuch only applies when there's no nivul involved, when there's no deprivation involved.
Why would you think that?
You could think that. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that no, even by nezirus, where there is, the father still has that ability.
You would think that without nivul would be lie the obligation of the father, but once you have nivul, you would.
Then maybe the father doesn't have that ability.
Because
there is nivul involved. You're depriving the child of something. Is that right to do? Maybe not. Okay, but that's why we're saying that, yes. An interesting thing, by the way, before we go further with the questions on Rish Lakish, it's an interesting vote on this whole business about, I just want to mention it now so I don't forget it, an interesting vote I saw about this whole business of a father being able to declare his son a Nazir. Chassam Sofer points out that you have a certain remnant to it in Psukim, in the Torah, that talk about a Nazir. It mentioned, when it talks about over there about a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei Mes, it says there, he's not allowed to become Tamei to his mother, his father, his brother, or his sister. Now, there's seven relatives that usually a person becomes Tamei for, and even a Kohen is allowed to become Tamei for. There's also his wife, and there's also his children. Why does the Torah leave them out? Okay, later on in the last Perek, the Gemara is going to explain that we learn from each of those words, we learn a different din as far as a Nazir, as far as a Kohen Gadol, as far as a Mes Mitzvah, etc. But still, on a Pshat level, why are the other three missing? So Chassam Sofer says that's why, because if our Mishnah is saying that a father is able to declare his young son a Nazir, a young son doesn't yet have a wife and doesn't yet have children. Therefore, the Torah leaves those out as if to say, always a Nazir is going to be also in those four. Depending on the circumstances, there may also be the other three. Okay, continuing with the Gemara. Bishleim Rabbi Yechanan, Dama Halacha Ibn Nazir. Okay, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that if Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai specifically by Nazir, well then, Hayne Dechatoni Micha Oshe Michu Krovav, well then, fine. It makes sense then, the Mishnah rather continues, that if the child himself or his relatives object to the Nazirus, either verbally object or we said they actually shave his hair, showing that they don't want him to be a Nazir. Well, fine, okay, the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai says the father has the right. The same Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai says that the child or that the boy or his relatives have veto power. Good. Elol Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Amar Shlokish, for according to the Shlokish's point of view, that's a matter of chinuch, kol p'minei and krovim d'amrin lei lo tigmer mitzvahs. Do the krovim have the right to tell the father, don't teach him mitzvahs? Who gave them the right to interfere in the father's chinuch of his children? The answer is kasavar, the Shlokish might hold kol chinuch to lei chashiv lo nichalei, because you could argue that any chinuch that's not considered to be significant, that's not considered to be important. Well, that's the thing. In other words, what are we saying? That we're saying that that uh, the chinuch of nazirus, in a way, there is a certain chshivus of it during the nazirus, of course, but there's also a bizayin afterwards. He winds up having to shave his hair. He winds up looking very unattractive.
Correct, but it's
so maybe that. So therefore, the Shlokish would argue that yes, the son or his relatives have veto power over it. Well, I mean, okay. Tosfos says that the design is the megaleach sairei that he shaves his hair. The pashtus, I guess, you could argue a 30-day growth of hair in and of itself is not such a design. I mean, it's okay. It's a little long. It's not seriously so. The other way, Tosfos has a slightly different gear. So also instead of
connection with chinuch, yeah.
That's the point. In other words, the chinuch has to be something that the chinuch, according to that way of looking at it, has to be something that doesn't involve the sun having to be disfigured like that. For one thing, also, I mean, you could argue then, you know, if the relatives are going to get involved and argue against it, what kind of chinuch is that going to be? You know. I mean, anyway, Tosfos brings another gear. So also that d'loy chashiva. That chinuch is usually meant to give the son a certain chashivus. It's meant to make him a well-rounded Jew. Here it's making him a bezayin, and therefore that can't really be considered a form of chinuch. So yes, we could argue that there's a certain degree of chinuch in it because you want to train him to control himself. But on the other hand, because of that, he and his relatives have veto power. Yeah. We talked about that yesterday. The Yerushalmi actually asked the question, can relatives be moicha? And some of the Mephoshim on the Yerushalmi, the Korban Eda, I think, says the point of the Yerushalmi's question is just how close does this relative have to be? Does it have to be a close enough relative that they'd be possible to give Eidos on each other, for example, so like brothers or cousins or whatever, or are we talking about even more distant relatives? That's another question that Mephoshim have. What if the relatives disagree? What if the son wants the Naziris but the relatives don't? What if the other way around?
Seems to be saying that the crover, the closer they are, the more veto power they have.
Not necessarily, no. I don't think anybody's saying that. Next. Ishlema the Rabbi Yechon and Dama Halacha Ibn Nazir, Mishim Hochi Megaleach V'Ovid HaKofa. Well, fine. If it's a halacha l'meshem Sinai, let's consider at the end he's going to be shaving his hair. What does that mean? He's going to be shaving off his payas as well. So fine. If Austin and Atar to shave off your payas, loisakifu pas roshchem, fine. Halacha l'meshem Sinai can go against that. Usually it's also, just like in the case of a regular nazir, you have a mitzvah say in the Torah to shave his hair, and that overrides the loisah. That's a classic example of esedot loisah, that he shaves his hair, and thereby he's overriding the iser of shaving off his payas. But in the case of a child, okay, if you say it's halacha l'meshem Sinai, fine, halacha l'meshem Sinai has the strength of a deraita, therefore it can override hakafas arosh, cutting off his payas. It's only a matter of chinuch, dirabanan. You're shaving off his payas. How can you do that? The Torah says, lo sakifu. How can the rabbanan go against that? The answer is, kasavah hakafas kol arosh midirabanan. Because Rish Lakish can hold that shaving the entire head is only also dirabanan. Meaning, what did the Torah say? The expression the Torah uses when it says about the payas is lo sakifu pas roshchem. What does lo sakifu, Rashi explains on the pasuk based on the Gemara and Makkos, it means you have the hair on your forehead and on your temples is up here. The hair above your ears is also up here, and then in between it dips down. That's the payas. Don't make it a straight cut across so that the level of the hair is the same across. That would be lo sakifu. You're making a circle at the same level around your head. But if you shave off all the hair, no circle. There's nothing. But yes, it's also dirabanan, then we could argue. But that's only dirabanan. Fine. V'chinuch dirabanan. What? V'chinuch dirabanan. Chinuch is also dirabanan. Therefore, v'ati is chinuch dirabanan. V'dach yakafa dirabanan. Good. The mitzvah of chinuch dirabanan can override the iser of shaving off the entire hair, including the payas, which would also only be dirabanan. The Rashba, by the way, points out an interesting thing based on this. He says, it must be, then you have to say, based on this Gemara, that the Nazir only shaves his hair, but not his beard. Why? Because otherwise the Gemara should have asked about the beard also. After all, we could be talking about a kid who's old enough already that he has not only Shtei Cyrus, as we'll talk about later in the Gemara, but that he's already started growing a little bit of a beard. You know, even nowadays, there are kids who grow... No, so if he's that's actually a different discussion. That's actually a different discussion. When we say the father can make his son a nazir, does that automatically expire when the son gets to stay Cyrus? Or is it that the nazirus that his father said is still in effect? Let's say he said a 30-day nazirus. 2 weeks later, the son develops Shesiris, does the Nazirus still continue for another 2 weeks, or does it just get broken off at that point?
The
Gemara is going to discuss it later on, but the Gemara doesn't discuss it so explicitly. That's why the Mefarshim, that's why it's left for the Mefarshim to discuss. The Gemara is going to discuss a sort of related topic. We'll see. We'll get to it. Anyway, so according to that way of looking at it, though, the son might well have a beard, and the Gemara is not dealing with that issue. And with the beard, you can't say that if you shave off the whole thing, it's only Darbana, and that, there's no question, it's Daraisa as well, if you shave with a razor, which is what a Nazir has to do. And even, as we know, the leaflets that are always circulating around Shul, that even doing it with scissors or whatnot is a little problematic, la'alacha. The fact that the Gemara doesn't bring it shows that a Nazir doesn't do anything with his beard. Having said that, though, it's interesting because the Zohar does say that a Nazir shaves both his hair and his beard. Okay. Anyway, okay, next. Bishleim l'Rabiyachim and Amar Halachi ibn Nazir, Ahachi megaleach maisi karban. Well, therefore, when he shaves his hair, if it's the Halacha l'Mashim Sinai, fine, he's able to bring the karban. Fine. Again, Halacha l'Mashim Sinai says that in this case, you bring a karban, good. That's a strong enough basis to bring a karban. Bring in the three karbanas. El Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Amir Shlokish, when you say Kedei Lachancha b'mitzvah, so the whole thing is only Jabbanan. Okay, Maisi Chulun La'azora. Midday right, so these karbanas are nothing. So you bring Chulun into the Azora of the Beis Mikdash, which is also. The answer is Kassav, Chulun La'azora, La'adai right, so fine. Rishlokish, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Rishlokish will hold that bringing Chulun into the Azora is not an Issu Daraisa. So fine, you're able to bring them in. So that what do you do? So what do you do with the three korbanos, practically speaking? So Tosfos says, very simple, the Ola and the Shlomim, no problem. An Ola can be brought as an Ola, a Shlomim can be brought as a Shlomim voluntarily. There's no great problem with those. You'll therefore be able to eat the Lechem also, because again, if there's no problem of bringing Chulin La'azara, according to this, then fine, you're allowed to eat the Lechem. What do you do with the Chatas? Tosfos says an interesting thing. What you can do is, you will be able to sprinkle the blood of the Chatas on the Mizbeach and burn the pieces of it, the relevant pieces of it on the Mizbeach. How? It's not really a korban daraisa, because you can sprinkle the blood, having in mind that it's not as if it wasn't blood, but as if it was some water. In certain cases, the Gemara talks in Zvachim, you're allowed to do that when you have a korban that you're not sure whether it's possible or not. You're allowed to. You sprinkle the blood l'shem mayim, so it doesn't possible the korban because not having a thought as if it was a different korban, which, as we said yesterday, would possible a chatas. As far as the meat, as far as the emurim, also what you do is you burn them on the mizbeach, not having in mind that you're burning them as the pieces of a korban, but rather you're burning them as if they were firewood.
And that's enough.
But that way, you've burnt them out, you've sprinkled the blood on them, the blood has gotten to the four corners of the Mizbeach, the Emurim have been put on the fire and burnt, but not having in mind that either one of them was meant as an actual carbon. Nevertheless, though, it was done, and now the meat of the carbon can be eaten. It's really chulin. Okay, so the Kayanim are eating it, it's chulin, it's not really kosher, big deal.
Not a problem,
it's
actually chulin.
That's not the point. The point is, you could, theoretically, you could. You want to clean them as that, right?
No problem, potentially, chulin.
According, if we say that there's not a problem of bringing and eating chulin in Azara, then no. That's the point. If we say there's a problem, then... Of course, that's the word that we have to say that, yeah. Okay. Next. Bishleim l'Rav Yechon and Dama Halacha ibn Nazir. Ahochi, well, therefore, ki mitame. Now let's consider what happens if this child were to become tame partway through his nazirus. Maisi korban siparin. Then he's able to bring the birds as his korban. Va'ochel korin melika. Now what happens? What do you do with birds for a korban? You don't shech them. The korin does melika. He takes his fingernail and punctures through the neck, and then kills the bird that way. And usually that would make the bird nevela. Usually that would be also to eat. In the case of a korban chatos, the Torah makes a specific exception that says that the korban is allowed to eat.
And he stays, when he does melika, he's tara coming up.
I'll tell you something soon that the Rovich ever talks about this gemara over here. But yeah, you know, if you do melika properly for a properly brought korban, then yeah, the korban stays tara. Bechlal, actually, come to think of it, the carcass of the dead body of a kosher bird that was not killed with shechita does not make you tame by touching it. Anyway, the only way it makes you tame is by swallowing it. The tame beveis ablia, it's called. That's a special truma that only applies to Nivlas Alif Tahar.
If you saw it, what, the blood or?
No, you swallowed the actual bird itself, the actual meat, the actual meat and bones and whatnot of it, yeah. So in the case of Malika, the Torah makes an exception and allows the Kohen to eat it. Otherwise, if Malika is done on something which is not a proper carbon, then the bird is nevela. And to eat it would be an issur lav.
So the Kohen eating the bird that had Malika is becoming tummy or not?
No. So if Malika is done to a proper carbon, no, he doesn't become tummy. Then Malika stands in the place of Shita. As if it was shita. But if a person were to stop bring a bird to the Bais Mikdash for no special reason, let's say, so wait, let's learn a few more lines, and I'll tell you, yeah, the Rogachar actually brought up that point, brought up that question as it relates to our Gemara. Wait. Incidentally, by the way, is an interesting thing. I think we've talked about this before. Sefer Yechezkel has a lot of psukim in it that seem to contradict various things in Chumash. So there came a point, the Gemara mentions in Menachos, we don't have that this way back in Shabbos, actually, there came a point when the Chachamim figured, you know what's dangerous to have Sefer Yechezkel in public circulation. Better we should put it in Gniza. Maybe only the Chiddush Segula should have access to it, whatever, because otherwise people are going to think that a Navi can contradict the Torah. Comes along Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin a few years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, and he says, I'm gonna fix all this up. He has them bring up hundreds of barrels of oil to his attic, so he has enough light to give him light for a very long time. And he sits and researches there for months upon months and figures all of the seeming contradictions out. This is the famous thing. In Sefer, meanwhile, during that time, the Shama and Basilo at one point came to visit him while he's doing this. Is the famous thing in Shabbos, where then at that point there were more Shama than Basilo there, and that was a Yurchas Dover, but they would go there, etc. Anyway.
What was he saying again?
Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin. So, what was one of the things? Yechezkel writes in his Sefer, he says, Kol Nevelo Trefa lo Yech Bakoin. It's the last pasuk of that sort of ever. Koin, I'm not allowed to eat Nevelo and Trefa. Only Kohanim. Nobody's allowed to eat me. It is not allowed to be Nevela and Trefa. So his answer was, because since we see the Torah allows a Kohanim to eat a chatas oif to which Malika was done, which ordinarily Malika would make it Nevela if it was done to anything other than a korban and to anything outside the Bais Mikdash, therefore you would think maybe a Kohanim in general is allowed to eat Nevela. No, Yechezkel comes and clarifies, no, this is the exception. Other than that, a Kohanim has the same issur Nevela as anybody else. Anyway. Okay. That was one of the concerns of the Chacham had, but then Hananiah figured all that out, so now it's good. Yeah. Okay.
Where
did you read it? It's a Gemara in Menachos. So, Bishlem Lod Abyechen and Do'om HaLoch Ibn Nazar, Ahachi, therefore, if the boy becomes Tameh, Maiti Korban Sipor, and he can bring the Korban of Burud, V'ochel Kayin Malika, and the Kayin will eat the one which is the Chatas, which has been killed with Malika. El Rabbi Yosef of Chanina Amir Shlokish, Haka Ochal Nevela. If you say the whole bringing these korbanos is only being done with Drabanan, after all, Malika is being done to the Chatas, and now the Kohen is eating it, Lachora, wouldn't it be a problem? He's eating Nevela. The answer is Kasavar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, De'en Shchita La'of Min HaTorah. Yes, but He would hold like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who said that a bird does not require shchita min haTorah, according to this opinion, a bird does not need to be shechted. Any way of killing it, as long as it gets out the blood, is good enough. Therefore, yes, midaraisa, you would be allowed to eat any bird that malika was done to, because at least the blood is being drained. Only midrabanan are you not allowed to, because it needs proper shchita. So therefore, good, you're back to that. There's no issue with it.
We can do malika tomorrow night.
Only according to the case of the order, that law is not like that. Only according to him. Tosfos mentioned the Girsa. The Kohen is only doing it because it's a matter of Chinuch. Yeah, it's not like, even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily would be something to do with Chila. Tosfos, by the way, brings the Girsa over here, not Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, which brings Tosfos to the question, so what are we talking about? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is the one saying over here in the name of Rish Lakish, how are we all of a sudden saying he holds like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina? Isn't that the same person? And Tosfos says there's actually two. There was a Tana of that name, and there was an Amora of that name. But according to our Girsa, it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, so it's not an issue anywhere. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is definitely a Tana. So here's where, actually, so the Adderis, The Adjeris, one of the great rabbanim of 100-odd years ago, he was a famous rav in Litta in Ponovich, I think. Afterwards, he became the rav of Yerushalayim. he writes that at one point someone came to him with a question from the Rabbi Chavar on our Gemara over here. This business about Nivlas Eiftar. Granted, fine, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to eat it without proper Shechita. It's still Havela. Doesn't the Kohen become Tomei the moment he eats it? And he's standing there in the Bais Mikdash. You're not allowed to be Tomei in the Bais Mikdash. So they discussed it pro and con. Maybe he eats it quickly, but maybe he swallows it quickly. And we learned a couple of weeks ago that you only chaya for tumah in the Bais Mikdash if you're there for the amount of time that it takes to bow down on the ground. So maybe it doesn't take that long. They discussed it pro and con. The Shadar told him that the Rogachover gave an answer. He said that, you know what, how about, for example, there were different outbuildings around the Azara, including there could be, you could have one where the footprint of the building, the floor space of the building is in the space of the Azara, but it faces outward. It faces out of the Azara. In that, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it was the footprint of it is outside the Azara and it faces in. I forget which one it was. Whatever it is, such places, you're allowed to eat kodshim in them, but you're not chayev for being tummy in them. You're not chayev for tumas mikdash for kodshim in them. Because it's out, yeah. So therefore, so it could be that you could say to the client, go eat this thing in that place. And also the Chulin Ba'azorah, Lav Da'araisa, and going back to what we said before, that the Chulin Ba'azorah is not also in Atorah either. So therefore, you've covered all your bases. You're allowed to bring these birds in the Chachila, even though Mid'araisa, they're not needed for a carbon, because Mid'rabbanan, we're allowing it for the Chinuch, and the Isser of bringing Chulin Ba'azorah itself is only Mid'rabbanan, so we can override it. The Isser of the Kayan eating the Vela is also only Mid'rabbanan, according to this way of looking at it. So therefore, you're covered.
So one Rabbanan
can override another. Yeah. So now the question is, the Sover Rabbi Yosi Hachi, you're telling me Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, holds like that. V'hotanya, but we learn in a Braisa, minayin l'chatas, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that is, minayin l'chatas oif shibar l'safik she'enu necheles. How do we know that if a chatas oif is brought because of a suffix, so a person is not sure whether they have to bring it, classic case would be, for example, a woman miscarried, and she's not sure whether what she miscarried has the din of a baby or not, if it was before or after 40 days or whatever. So she has to bring her korbanos yoledet, be on the safe side, so she can eat kodshim, but the chatas is only on a suffix. Now how do we know you don't eat such a korban? Talmud Loma, because the pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Metzora, the Torah sums up and it says that these are the rules for someone who has a flow, whether male or female. The Parashas, it means a zavah or a zavah, which therefore, makish nekevel a zavah. The Torah, therefore, is making a hekish between the woman and the man. Namely, ma zacha may be korban al avadai, just like a man, when he does an aveira, brings a korban for it. When he's certain that he did an Aveira, at the Kevim would be a Korban al Avadai. So also a woman, if she did an Aveira when she knows for sure that she did it, B'shogig, then she has to bring a Korban. Fine, that part is not really that part is not really a Chiddush. That we don't really need the Pasuk for, because we know that the general rule, Hishva Kosm Ishla Ishla Chalon Shin Vachra Torah, that when it comes to all the punishments and penalties and whatnot in the Torah, men and women are on an equal level. So yes, if a man, for example, has to bring a Korban for Chalev, for eating Chalev, so does a woman.
No, wait.
So, but that part is really only brought as an introduction to the next part. So let's continue. Uma zacha may be al suffix. So now let's go another step. Just like a man brings a korban when he has a suffix, whether he did that there, the classic case of Asham Talui, after Kavim would be al suffix. So also a woman, if she has a something that's specific to her as a woman, namely, for example, a yoledes, where she's not sure what she gave birth to, and then she also has to bring a korban ala suffix.
Based on
the hekesh. Furthermore, uma zacha min shu maybe ala vade maybe ala suffix. Just like with a man, the same type of korban that he brings, the same basic type of species that he brings for definite aveira, he brings for a doubtful one. Namely, if he definitely ate chaylev, he brings a sheep. And if it was an osham tolu, he brings a ram, which is an adult sheep. After Kavim, Miminchi, Mivyala, Vadi, Mivyala suffix. So the same thing with a woman. If she knew for sure that she had given birth, then she would be bringing birds, the Torah says, if she's poor. If she's rich, she brings a bird and a sheep, but that's not relevant over here. the same thing. If she has a sofik, minshi, mevialavade, the same species, brood, that she brings for vade, which is definitely a yodlis or a zava or what have you, mevial sofik she brings in the case where she's a sofik yodlis. Now comes the key point. E mazocha medi korban v'nechol at the cave and revia korban v'nechol. So you would think that in that case, if you're carrying through the hekesh, well, when a man brings an oshen toleri, or a woman for that matter, we say he was zocher, just meaning in the generic sense. The usual expression is kolaturta kulabaloshen zocher nevra. The whole, generally speaking, the mitzvahs are phrased in the masculine form, even when they pertain to both men and women. So when we say zachar over here, we don't mean something that only men do. We mean something that the Torah speaks of men, and it applies equally well to women. As opposed to nekeva means the things that apply only to women, namely a woman who gave birth or a zavah or what have you. So
throughout the Torah,
that's the general rule, yeah. So e ma zachar may be korban v'nechal. So by that logic, if a zachar, you're saying when he brings a korban on a suffik and osham toleri, it gets eaten. It's a regular osham. The kohenim eat it. At the cave of a korban and echel, then you should argue that when a woman brings a korban al safet for being a safet yodas, you should argue that it will also be eaten. The answer is amarta loy. No, you have to say that not, because there's a difference. Im amarta bezocha shekain iser echad. Because you can argue there's a difference. When it comes to a man, namely when it comes to an osham toleri, there's only one potential iser involved, namely. What if he didn't, what's the whole point of an Oshem Toli? He's not sure whether he did the Yisur or not. He's not sure whether what he ate was Chelev or Shuman, as we talked about the other day. If it turns out that what he ate was Shuman, there was no need to bring a Korban. Effectively, it was kind of Chulat Ba'azara. Nevertheless, the Torah is telling him to bring the Korban. So effectively, the same Torah that's telling you you're not allowed to bring Chulat into the Azara is overriding that in this case and telling you, never mind that, go ahead and bring your Korban. Go ahead and bring your Oshem Toli. How can you compare that to a case of a woman who's bringing a korban yeledes ala safek, where if it turns out that she didn't really need it? There's two isurim involved, namely the isur of chulin bazara, because she doesn't have to bring a korban in the first place, and the isur of nebela, because the korban is going to eat a bird that was killed by melissa rather than shchita. My shnei isurim, so now this is all Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda saying this, right? My shnei isurim, what kind of two isurim are we talking about? Lab isur nebela v'chulin bazara. The pashtus, they're the surim of Nevela and Chulin Ba'azara. You see that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that those two things are also Daraisa. And that's why we can't make, that's why we can't carry through that Hekesh in that case.
I mean, the Nevela would be only one.
In the case, it's only one potential Isser that theoretically, if we were to know at this point that what he ate was actually Shuman and he went and brought his Korban anyway, he would have been bringing Chulin Ba'azara. But that's only one Isser. So you could say the Torah overrides that. But you can't say the Torah goes so far as to override two Isurim, tell this woman not only bring a korban, which you're not sure if you have to bring, which is going to be chul mazora, but even let the kohen eat it, which might be where he might be eating the bela. That's too much. So you can't carry through the hekesh to that. But that implies that the whole concept of chul mazora and the whole concept of the bela that malika is ordinarily the bela is daraisa, not zirabanan. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Yosef, if you're to hold that the whole thing is zirabanan? And the answer is maskif for Rabacha Breder Vika. Rabacha Breder Vika challenges that. What do you mean? The dilma mechayev alei. Maybe what we mean is that it is ultimately true isurin derabanan. Yechayev on it. We should do mitzchavi kitrei isurin derabanan. Yes, what we mean is that it looks like true isurin derabanan. Meaning yes, maybe indeed Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is saying that neither of them is actually also min haTorah. But because the Rabbanan after it, then therefore we can't carry through the Hekesh. We necessarily therefore have to say that fine, she'll go ahead and bring the korban, but we can't allow the korban to eat it.
Initially, we said they're derived.
That's what we thought, because we thought if he's saying that those two isurim are strong enough to cancel the Hekesh, they can only be strong enough to cancel the Hekesh if they're derived. Now what we're saying is that no. Maybe midaraisa actually the hekesh would indeed carry through, and it's only and maybe even it would be eaten. It's only dirabanan rather that we say that we don't.
Why would dirabanan?
Because after all, the chulin is also in the azara midrabanan according to this way of looking at it, and bird nitschitim in azara also midrabanan. So Tosis points out, actually, it's not really, the Tanoim are not really arguing about the basic concept that a woman brings a chatas o'if al sofek. That's a commonplace thing throughout Shas. So much of Masechta Kinin, for example, deals with that kind of situation where you have to bring a chatas o'if because of a sofek but it ends up not being eaten. Ultimately, yes, we do say, regardless whether you hold that these things are d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, regardless, it is true that you do bring a chatas to oif al hasafek. And it is also true that the kohen doesn't eat it. So regardless of whether you look at it as d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, even if you were to argue that these two isurim are d'oraisa, nevertheless, the isur of chulin ba'azara is not strong enough to say that we shouldn't bring the korban at all. We'll say, bring the korban, it just won't be eaten. So therefore, we have a reason to argue that Rabbi Yehuda is actually saying that these two Yisurim are only Dirabanan. Well, therefore, Rish Lakish can hold like that. So if Rish Lakish holds like that, then we settled now that he has a reason, he has an argument that he can say, even though a father only has the ability to make his son another Dirabanan, nevertheless, though, that Dirabanan will still allow him to bring the Korbanos, whether it's Korbanos Tara, whether Korbanos Tumah, and not run into problems with Chulin Ba'azara, and not run into problems with Nevela.
Because
one Dirabanan can cancel another again. Yeah. Okay. Thing about this, Katanoi. So now, should we say this whole machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is actually a machloikas Tanoi? Rice says, "Ad mos a madras bnei b'nazir." Up till what age does a father have the right to declare his son a nazir? Ad shiyavi shtei tzairus, until the son has two pubic hairs. In other words, the point is, if the two hairs have to grow after 13. By the way, if they grow below 13, then they're not considered to have any significance in halacha. So if the boy is 13 and he has the shtei tzairus, then Rebbe is saying that the father cannot be madir him benazir anymore. And again, according to the Rishonim, who argue that the nazirus expires at that point, it would mean that's when it expires also. If the father had declared him a nazir and then he developed shtei tzairus, and that's it. The nazirus is cut off at that point. Divir Rebbe, Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, I'm actually a gila, oynas nadarim. Whereas Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda says, no, there's an earlier cutoff point. When the son reaches oynas nadarim. Oynas nadarim is what we also call mufla samach le'ish. When the child is 1 year before bar bas mitzvah, in this case bar mitzvah, because we're talking about a boy. During that year, what we do is, the Rambam explains based on Gemaras that we've had in Nidarim, and we'll have later on in Amos there as well, that what you do is you ask the child, you check him out, we'll talk about that soon in the Gemara, you check him out, does he, you check with him, does he know whom a neder is addressed to, that a neder is a promise to the Eidishter. If he knows that, then that neder is in effect. So that's called, it's called Mufla Samoch Le'ish, it's also called Oynas Nedarim.
Even though he doesn't understand the qualification?
No, that's the point. If he understands that it's addressed to the Eishter, then that's enough to make it a valid neder. The Sicha and Matis with it, discusses all of the detailed implications of that, in particular that I'm right that you keep on being Bodekim throughout the 13th year or throughout the 12th year for a girl, and on the face of it, why should you need to? If you knew at the beginning, why are you concerned that he might have forgotten at the end? A whole purple Sicha, but at the end of it, the Rebbe talks also about the idea that the Pnimius Yinyanim, the idea is Nedarim are higher than Chochmah. We talked about this in Nedarim. You have the power with your speech to ask for something which the Torah said is mutter. Therefore, it's higher than Chochmah, and therefore it can come about even before the child has a full degree of Chochmah. Okay. So, my love, Tanoihi. So, l'chorah, that means that the machlokes Tanoim is as follows. The Rebbe Sava Halacha even knows this. The Rebbe figures that the concept that the father can make his son a Nazir is a Halacha L'Meshmi Sinai. Therefore, even if the son is at the age of Nedarim, Madu Leva Ozel Ademaisi Shtei Tzairus. Still, the Torah grants him, the Halacha L'Meshmi Sinai grants him the ability to go ahead and make his son a Nazir until Shtei Tzairus. Who says the cutoff point is Ernest Nadarim, he would argue the reason behind it is that you want to be Mechanachim and Mitzvahs. The Kivin did not say, once he's out of your Rishus, in the sense that he's able to make independent Nadarim and have them be Chal, Tuloy Mechayim, with the age of Ernest Nadarim, a year before Bar Mitzvah. Tuloy Mechayim. So then at that point, you don't have the Chiyuv to be Mechanachim in it anymore. So then that would be exactly that would cover exactly the same ground as a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rebbe would be like Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yosi would be like Rish Lakish. The answer is Amri. They say loy, not necessarily. The kulei am a halacha ibn nazir. You could argue that both Tanoim agree that it is halacha l'moshe misinai, like Rabbi Yechanan, which we would prefer to do because in general, in a machlokas Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechanan. The halacha b'muflas samach leishkam mufligi. Fine, but the machlokas of it here would be what's the basis of the idea that a muflas samach leish, that this year before bar mitzvah, that the nedarim achal. Rebbe Sava Mufla Samachlish Dirabanan. Rebbe holds that that whole concept is only Dirabanan. Yes, we have a pasuk for it, but Rebbe would hold that that pasuk is only an asmachta.
Mufla Samachlish
means the year before Ramitra, yeah.
Is what?
Is it that if he knows who his nether is addressed to, that it's a nether.
That's Dirabanan.
According to Rebbe, it would be Dirabanan. According to Rebbe, it would be Dirabanan. Midaraisa, it's not. For after Daraisa, it's after Rabbanan. Fine, we have something Daraisa, halacha l'moshe misinai, that says the father can make him a nazir. That overrides the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yisrael, we've heard of some of Mufla Samachlish Daraisa, whereas Rabbi Yisrael would hold that the whole concept of Mufla Samachlish itself is Daraisa. Therefore, we shouldn't assume that the halacha l'moshe misinai, that a father has the right to make his son a nazir, we shouldn't assume that that overrides the other din Daraisa that says that the son himself, at age 12, already has the ability to make his own nedarim. It's not that something Daraisa can't override something Daraisa, but we have no reason to think that it should. Basically. I mean, if we have a halacha l'moshe misinai that says that the father can make his son a nazir, and we also have a din midaraisa according to him, that a child a year before bar mitzvah is able to make his own nedarim, it's logical to assume that when does that grant of authority to the father, when does it go until the son is a mufas amachlish, till he gains his own rights over his own nedarim. The Ibai Seima, or another way of looking at it, the Kula Amakir Lachancha the Mitzvah, you could argue everybody agrees that the purpose of Fakert, maybe everybody holds like Rish Lakish, that the reason why the father can make his son a Nazir is to train him in Mitzvahs. And we would also argue Mufla Samachlish Dirabanan. We could argue that according to both of them, Mufla Samachlish is only Dirabanan. So what would be the machalik? Because Rebbe Sava also Chinuch Dirabanan, Dachli Mufla Samachlish Dirabanan. Fine, they're both Dirabanan, one overrides the other. He figures, fine, but the chinuch dirabanan doesn't necessarily have to override mufla samachlish, which is also dirabanan. Because in the cases we had on Amud Aleph, you needed a din dirabanan to override a din daraisa, because otherwise the korbanos can't be brought, or can't be eaten, as the case may be. Here, you have a choice. Let the din dirabanan of chinuch apply until the kid is 12. Let the mufla samachlish, which is also dirabanan, take over from 12, and at that point the son has the right to make his own nedarim, and the father loses that right.
They have time to close it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the Gemara says, Leimav hani tanoi ki hani tanoi. In that case then, did I skip one of them? I thought there were three of them. Okay. Now, should we say that the machlokas tanoim we just had, Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, is the same as the machlokas of the following other tanoim? Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, this is one of those examples where even though the Gemara starts off lema, and usually lema is something that we think might be the case, and in the end the Gemara ends up disproving, this is one of those cases, and one of those real cases in Shas, where we end up sticking with this. So,
in other words, two machlokes of tanoim.
There's two sets of tanoim that had the same argument. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Maisa Reb Chanina Shehidiri Ovid Ben Nazir. It happened once that Reb Chanina, his father, declared him a Nazir before he was Bar Mitzvah, obviously. They had beer, listen to Reb Gamliel, so they brought Reb Chanina, at that time he wasn't Reb Chanina yet, I guess he was Chanina, but whatever. They brought him to Reb Gamliel. Behoyer Reb Gamliel, Boitkoi Leidem, Hevi Shtei Cyrus in Lehevi. So Reb Gamliel is checking him to find whether he has Shtei Cyrus or not. That's the Tanakhama's version. Reb Yossi, Oime Leidem, Egeel, Oine Sedorim, Imlav. Reb Yossi says that no. He was checking him. He wasn't physically checking him for Cyrus. He was verbally checking him whether he's by Ernest Adonim, whether he knows who Nadir is addressed to.
What's called Ernest Adonim?
The time of Adonim.
And?
That means the year. That means that year when his Adonim already, the age at which his Adonim can already be affected. That's the point. That's the point. The Gemara is going to say. Therefore, we see the same machlokes that the Tanakhama of this Braita is saying that the cutoff point is Shtei Sairus. Rabbi Yossi is saying the cutoff point is Enes Adonim. Anyway, continuing the story, Amalo. So Reb Chanina tells him, Rebbe, I'll fix style the bird candy. Don't trouble yourself to check me. Either way, im katan ani, if at this point I'm still considered a katan, then I'll be a nazir based on what my father said. Im gadol ani, if at this point I'm already a gadol, I'll fix up the situation. I'll voluntarily take on a nazirus of my own.
What did he have? He was so smart. What did he have to check?
Well, according to the first version, you have to check the physical file. But according to the second, a kid could be very smart and still not realize that a nether is addressed to the Eivishtim, Melech Mahalat Lach. Okay, well, now he knew. Now, fine, he didn't need to. Now, Omer Ram Gamil and Shaka Yal Roshah, Ram Gamil stood up and kissed him on his head. Omer, he said, Mukta Hani Badesh, Murda Halacha of Israel. I'm certain about this one, about this child that he'll pack in halachas for the Jewish people. Omru, and they said, sure enough, not very long past, before he was passing in halachas for the Jewish people. Now, this Shleim of Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, the Amar Shagir la'Onis Nedarim, who says, okay, so thus far the Braita, so we see that, yes, the Machlokas of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda goes back to the Machlokas, the two versions of the story. Now, let's analyze the story. Onis Nedarim or Shnei Tzarim. Now let's analyze the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to analyze the implications of the story. According to Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, who says the cutoff point is Onis Adarim when he's 12, so therefore we can understand what is Reb Chanina saying. Therefore, he's saying, fine, if I'm not at Onis Adarim yet, then my father's Nezirus will be in effect, and if not, then I'll make a Nezirus of my own. But according to Rebbe, who says the cutoff point is Shtei Sairus, then Gadol ani Eiv b'Shvil Atzmi. What do you mean? He's saying if I'm a Gadol, then I'll do it. Then I'll do it on my own. Up until Shtei Sairus, the father still had the capability. He's still under his father's reshus up until that point. In other words, the Gemara is assuming what he says in Gadol ani. The Gemara assumes that by him Gadol ani, he actually means if I'm a Gadol as far as Onis Nedarim, as far as age. But how does that help? According to Rebbe, age doesn't help, only Shtei Sairus helps. And the answer is, Elodama, hey Bishvilaba, hey Bishvilatmi. Fine. That's exactly, though, what he means. He, when he says Gadol and Katan, he's not referring to age, he's referring to Shtei Sairus. You'd have to understand the story like that according to Rebbe. According to Rabbi Yosi, which is also Rabbi Yosi's version, he's saying, depending on whether I'm below or above 12, or depending whether I understand what Nedarim are or not. According to Rebbe, you would have to say, he's telling Rebbe Gamliel, don't bother checking for Shtei Sairus. If they're there, then I'm taking on Nezirus myself. If they're not there, then my father's is still in effect. Now the Gemara continues. Now let's consider what happens. Eisi Shtei Sairus Meikra. Fine. So let's consider, according to Rebbe, if he were to grow Shtei Sairus before the Nezirus was ever said, then fine, Koim be Nezirus delay, then his own Nezirus will be in effect. What the Gemara is going to take up now is like this, basically like this. What was Reb Chanina saying? He's saying that regardless, I'll be a Nazir. Fine. That works out very well, except for the problem that what happens if he grows Shtei Sairus in the middle of the time? Especially according to the Rishonim, who say that at that point the Nezirus that his father put on him expires, then for sure you have a problem, because then you only have, let's say there's been 2 weeks or 20 days or whatever it is in Nezirus, not a full month, not enough time to bring Karbanis yet. And his own Nezirus isn't gonna fill that out because it hasn't started until there. Even according to the opinions that say that it doesn't get broken off at that point, fine, but you still have, there's no 30 days of Nezirus that are in one status. You got 15 in one, 15 in the other, 20 in one, 10 in the other, whatever. So that's the thing I was asking. Eisi Shtei Sairus Meikra, that's what we're asking. How does Reb Chanina's statement that one way or the other, I'll be a Nazir, how does that help the situation? Eisi Shtei Sairus Meikra, if he grew Shtei Sairus before he ever came to Rebbe Gamliel, it call him a Nezirus delay. Fine. Then the Nezirus that he's taking on now will start. All the soif, if he only grew the Shtei Sairus at the end of the 30 days, call him a Nezirus Tavua. Then his father's Nezirus will have been in effect. Either way, in other words, they'll be able to bring the Karbanos because of the 30 full days of Nezirus in one status. The problem is, what happens if he grows them in the middle? Hamichal Rabbi Yosef b'Yehuda. So okay, it works out well according to Rabbi Yosef b'Yehuda. That's not a matter of Cyrus. It's the Amar Shiagil Oynes Nadarim. He says the cutoff point is Oynes Nadarim. According to Rabbi Yosef b'Yehuda, he would say like this. Yes, it's true, comes Oynes Nadarim, the father does not have the right to declare his son a Nazir anymore, but the Nazirus that the father declared is not over yet then. Regardless, according to the various Rishonim, even the ones who say that the father's Nazirus expires, that would only expire according to Rebbe by Shtei Tyrus. It would not expire according to Rebbe Yosef b'Yehuda just because of Oynes Nadarim. Because yes, the son now has the ability to make a Neder of his own, but he's still not yet a Gadol. He still is in his father's Rishus.
According to that opinion,
if the father were to declare him a Nazir 2 weeks before his 12th birthday, fine, no problem. Yes, 2 weeks of it is before Oynes Nadarim, 2 weeks of it is after. Still, it counts as one long Nazirus and the Korbanos can be brought at the end, no problem. But according to Rebbe, that the cutoff is Shtei Tzairus, and after Shtei Tzairus, he's not in his father's Rishus anymore. What are you going to say? Again, according to the two ways of looking at it, either the father's Nazirus has been completely cut off at that point, and now if he declares Nazirus, it's going to be a whole new thing. But he's not bringing. He can't just say that out style of Adkani, I'll be because of my father, I'll be because of myself. Or even if you say that it doesn't get cut off, but still, you can't bring Karbanos because of a Nazirus. That has half in one status and half in the other. The answer is Amri. They say the Rebbe lechatakanta. You're right. According to Rebbe, the only way that Reb Chanina would be able to fix up the situation had the Yosef delay the Yosef to Avuri. What he'll have to do is he'll have to be a Nazir for a maximum of 60 days. To be exact, what he'll have to do is so according to the two different ways of looking at it. If you say that the Nazirus gets cut off when he gets Shtei Tzairus, from that point onward he has to count 30 days and then he can bring his own Karbanos. If you say that the Nazirus that his father did still continues after Shnei Tzairus, then it means there'll have to be another, a total of 60 days. 30 days, of which 15 were before Shnei Tzairus and 15 afterwards, and then another 30 of his own. Either way, then he'll be able to bring Karbanos at the end of it and salvage the situation.
And the Alaska?
According to Rebbe, that's how it would be.
So he has to count 60 days?
According to that way of looking at it, if we say that the original Nazirus doesn't get cut off at Shtei Tzairus, it would mean he has to finish out the first one. He won't bring Karbanos because of his half in one status, half in the other. He'll then start counting 30 days of Nazirus for his own, and then bring the Karbanos. And that way he's covered no matter what.